John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to a program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry, and we thank you for being part of today's program. We have a great program prepared for you today as we continue to make our way through the book of Isaiah, and the message is titled Seers and Sorcerers. So we invite you to get your Bibles ready and follow along with us. And if you're following us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along as well. But before I continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to dive back into Isaiah and learn more about you, Lord, your plans, your future prophecies, and how that affects everybody who's tuned in. We pray for your blessing on our those, Lord, who are sharing the gospel with us and those who are tuning in. May we all grow in your name. Amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into a 2-2-6 Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista and Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our topic is that of seers and sorcerers as we look at Isaiah chapter 47. Before continuing, I welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, a warm welcome to you.
Oh, thank you for that warm welcome. You know, folks, it's winter time, and most of the country got hit by that ice storm last week, so I hope you're digging out. And we had Groundhog's Day. You know, Vic, I watched that old Bill Murray Groundhog's Day movie on Groundhog's Day. It was so much fun. But, you know, it's really scary. It's kind of sobering is that I remember when that came out in 1993, I was working as a waiter at TGI Fridays, and all our tables had advertisements to go see the movie. And I thought, well, wait, that was 33 years ago. Well, that'd be like 1960 to 1993. It's that much time has passed since that movie came out, and I felt exceedingly old.
Nate, actually, I remember you telling me that story a few years ago about Groundhog Day and watching the movie. I just think it's awesome, though.
Mm-hmm.
We also love to. My wife loves to watch the movie for Christmas. It's a Wonderful Life. So, hey, there's those things that we do that is fun to get old, you know?
Yeah, boy, that's sobering because that movie came out in, what, 47? So when you think about how old It's a Wonderful Life is, I mean, most of us listening in here weren't even alive in 47. So
I know. Time goes fast. And I'm sure those that are part of a program listening today, they're probably looking back at their lives in certain aspects and say, yeah, we are getting a little old. But Nathan, it's nice to get old in the Lord, right? That's the wonderful thing.
Yeah, you know Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. And so it doesn't matter if 33 years has passed since Groundhog's Day, we will be living millions and billions and trillions, if there's even counted in years, throughout eternity forward. So this will be like a blip in the story of our lives. Exciting.
Absolutely. But Nate, I know you mentioned cold weather, so we are praying for our state. I know there's a lot of people that have been affected by the weather. Even here in Daytona, I think this is the coldest that I ever remember. And it was down to like 28 degrees. And yesterday I was actually scraping ice off my windshield in Daytona Beach. Now that is cold.
I saw a picture a week or two ago where the Florida Panhandle had snow on it, and that was almost unseen. So yeah, it's one cold winter, brother.
Yes. So again, for those of you that are joining us in the cold weather, we have a warm program for you today. But Nathan, in case someone is new to the program and doesn't know how to get a hold of our resources, would you be able to share that for them?
Yes. So you've tuned into The Truth Will Set You Free. It's the podcast outreach of Lamb and Lion Ministries. We're a Bible prophecy teaching ministry, and our mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. Folks, we invite you to our website at christinprophecy.org. That's also the name of our television and radio programs. And so our passion is to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ in the short time we have before he returns. So if you're excited about that, visit our website at christinprophecy.org, and you could also download our Lamb Lion app.
Thank you for sharing, Nate, and that's a wonderful resource for those of you that are maybe new. We encourage you to check those out, and it's a great way for you to continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. So, Nathan, I mean, you and I have been making our way through the book of Isaiah. What an exciting a book. This has been what exciting messages we have been uncovering. And Nate, we are actually up to chapter 47. So there is hope in the horizon for us completing the book.
Yeah, when you think we started this in 2024, but you know, we told you all, and we appreciate those of you who have stuck with us all this time, is that it's 66 chapters. And so if we're going to go verse by verse and really, you know, suck the marrow out of it, so to speak, then it's going to take some time. So thank you all for tuning in each and every week and following along as we go through Isaiah. We believe that this will be the year 2026 that we finally finish Isaiah.
Praise the Lord. And if not, we'll finish it in heaven if the rapture happens first, right, Nate?
Yeah, then we can ask Isaiah personally to teach us.
That will be fun. And speaking of fun, Nate, that as we pick it up in chapter 47, we also want to encourage anyone listening. Hey, if you're cold, this is a great time for you to heat up your tea or your coffee and join us for our study as we dive into chapter 47. Nate, would you be able to open us up there, chapter 47, verses 1 through 5, and I'll read 6 through 10 in case someone doesn't have a Bible?
Okay, I'm reading from the New King James Version, which titles this chapter, The Humiliation of Babylon. So come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstone and grind meal. Remove your veil. Take off the skirt. Uncover the thighs. Pass through the river. Your nakedness shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame will be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not arbitrate with a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit in silence and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no longer be called the Lady of Kingdoms.
Verse 6, I was angry with my people. I have profaned my inheritance and given them into your hand. You show them no mercy. On the elderly you lay your yoke very heavily, and you say, I shall be a lady forever, so that you did not take these things to heart, nor remember the latter end of them. Therefore, hear this now, you who are given to pleasure, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am there, and there is no one else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in their fullness because of your multitudes of your sorceries, for the great abundance of your enchantments. For you have trusted in your wickedness. You have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge have been warped. You have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. What haughtiness. Would you agree, Nate?
Absolutely. And so to give you context, folks, is that we're talking about 2,700 years ago, about 700 BC. And Isaiah is prophesying that because of the continuing rebellion of the Jewish people against God, that God was going to bring them exile. Now, the big baddie of that time wasn't Babylon at all, but it was Assyria. Matter of fact, the Assyrians took the northern 10 tribes and sent them into exile. And so all that remained is Judah and Benjamin in the south, or the kingdom of Judah. And so the fact that Isaiah is prophesying Babylon being the persecutors of Israel, well, you know, that's 100 years from then, because it wasn't until 586 did King Nebuchadnezzar, the head of the Babylonians, finally defeat Jerusalem and bring all the exiles away into Babylon. So Isaiah is prophesying about the destruction of a nation that isn't even a world power yet. Let's say, you know, we see China kind of rising, but it's not one of the world powers. But, you know, we're doing this prophecy about the destruction of China that's abused us. Well, likewise, this is the same thing. This is the amazing thing about Isaiah's prophecy, which has led many secular historians to say that this section of Isaiah wasn't written by Isaiah, but they call him like pseudo-Isaiah. In other words, it was written after Babylon became a world power, and then the Medo-Persian Empire destroyed it and tried to discredit the prophecies. But it's been very well proven that Isaiah is actually from 2,700 years ago. So there's an amazing level in this prophecy. And Vic, you know, we talk about prophetic perspective, right? There's a near, There's a far and even a farther interpretation of prophecy sometimes. Well, this is also talking about the future Antichrist kingdom, this new Babylon that he will build, and destruction of it, which we read about in Revelation 19 and 20. So there is a lot packed into this prophecy.
Nathan, and that's the amazing thing about the book of Isaiah, as you and I have been teaching through it, is that we go back and forth, and hopefully those that have been part of the study can also pick up on those details when the prophecies are for future or far future, or what is something that represents what's going on during that time. According to this passage, one of the things that we know about Babylon and Chaldeans, Nate, is that they always trusted in their sorcerers, their magicians. And as you mentioned, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because later on in history, Daniel will come into the scene and he will be part of this group of individuals that are supposedly the seers. Of course, we know Daniel is not a magician, but he will be able to interpret some of the dreams of the king at that time, which was Babylon. But they've always had all these false prophets or magicians, if you will, trying to foretell them their future. But yet the Bible speaks about their downfall and how it will happen.
Yeah, it's interesting where it basically says, verse 9, in one day. And so we have to skip down to the early mid 500s BC to read about how the Medo-Persian Empire surrounded Babylon, cut off the river, and then walked into the city and overthrew Belshazzar, and it all happened in one day. So as mighty as the Babylonian Empire would become, even though in Isaiah's time it hadn't yet, Isaiah is also prophesying its destruction in one day, and that's actually what happens. Well, once Babylon is rebuilt again, if it is the Antichrist headquarters, some argue that it could be Rome, but a lot of prophecy teachers seem to believe that Babylon will be rebuilt, and it will be rebuilt, and the Lord will destroy it in one day at the end of the tribulation period. He will send this angel with this great stone and just crush the city and destroy it. So there's a prophecy about Babylon here in 500 or so BC, but there's a future fulfillment of it as well. And you know, Vic, Babylon throughout the Bible, right, is always equated with evil. It's like Satan's capital, if you will.
And Nate, that's a very good point that you made, but I also love you honing in on verse 9 in the timing. And I thought that was fantastic there, of the present, past, and the future destruction that the Bible talks about, because it focuses on one day. But Nate, also, you mentioned a good point. It's always been up that place of sorcery, false religions, if you will. In Revelation, it speaks about the woman, the harlot, the rites, the beast. And we see that even today, there is that aspect of Babylon that is alive and well when we talk about false religions and centers of false religions, as we see it all over the world these days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, back to verse 9, it says, why is the Lord going to destroy Babylon? Because of the multitude of your sorceries, for the great abundance of your enchantments. You know, we can read in the book of Habakkuk, the prophet was calling, he's like looking at Israel, and it's like, my country has gotten so evil. And so he prayed and prayed, Lord, what are you going to do about it? And the Lord says, well, I'm going to send the Babylonians down to destroy it. And Habakkuk's like, what? That's not what I was thinking, right? But the Lord promised that even though he uses an evil nation to punish the good, that evil nation for their deeds will also be destroyed as well. And that happens again and again throughout history. You know, every time the Israelites would rebel against God, God would send a foreign nation to persecute them. And when they finally called out to the Lord for help, he would rescue them. And that nation then would receive, even though they were the instrument of the Lord's judgment, they would receive destruction. Likewise, the release of the Antichrist is the very first judgment in the book of Revelation. He will be the tool of the Lord to bring wrath upon the world, but he too will end up being thrown into hell forever and ever and his kingdom destroyed. So evil people might think that they're getting away with their evil, but the Lord will always come in the end and punish them.
Nathan, I love that's a very good point there. Oh, sorry about that. That's a very good point. And that's why, some people think that, well, God doesn't see, or God doesn't care, or God is not paying attention, just like, but the reality is God sees it all, and his timing is always perfect. God is very patient because he wants to give people opportunity to repent and think about their actions, much like he was doing to the children of Israel. But there also comes a time, right, Nathan, where the patience is over and God says, you know what? Now is action time. Now is discipline time. And like you pointed out, he'll use other nations to correct his people, to get their attention. And if they don't listen, oftentimes that discipline can last up to 70 years or more, right, Nate? That's what happens
Oh, absolutely.
in the time of Daniel with a captivity.
When you look at verse 10, it says, "You have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me." So we see this continuing theme of pride. Pride always comes before a fall. And all these nations become super powerful, super prideful, and then they collapse. And it concerns me, Vic, is that we've had a rough time in our country the last decade or two with people being down on the United States, but we've got this renewed sense of encouragement about our country. We're the only superpower, and we're pushing our weight around with Venezuela and Greenland. We're telling the countries what to do, and you start thinking that as a nation that you're invincible, and that's usually with the beginnings of its collapse. So I'm thankful that we're starting to see patriotism come back to the United States. But I also worry too that in pride, the Lord might be setting us up for a fall.
Nathan, that's a good point. And what individuals don't understand is God's timing is different than ours. What we think might take a long time, or what might seem long, to God is nothing. That's what happened in Babylon. God prophesied in one day, just when they least expected it, almost like the flood, right, Nate? Where they were being told, the people in the time of Genesis, that there's a flood is coming, and they're like, no, we have plenty of time. And yet God set a specific time in a specific day what was going to happen, and many were caught by surprise. I think that's what's happening even right now in our modern days. You and I are doing these programs and we're telling people, turn, repent, turn to the Lord. There's a window of time that will be closing, and when it's closest will be no more opportunity. And many are listening and going, yeah, Vic and Nathan, you guys have already been a year and a half in the book of Isaiah saying that the Lord is going to return. He's not coming. But before you know it, right, Nathan?
He's gonna come. We've been teaching through we have a new prophecy chart here at the ministry, and we've been Tim Moore and I have been teaching through it on our TV show Christ in Prophecy. We've been releasing longer versions of the teachings too, and it always surprises me that whenever our ministry teaches about the rapture, and we teach about it a lot, how people come out of the woodwork to deny the rapture of the church. I mean, every old argument that's been so easily debunked over time, these people, they can't stand the idea of the rapture, or even worse, that the rapture will happen before the tribulation. And the naysayers come out. But if the Lord says something, then we're to believe it. And so I totally agree, man. And it's bad enough when the unbelieving world are the naysayers, but when the Christians are the naysayers, then the church has a real problem.
Nathan, and that is a very good point. I know right now, even as we speak, you're in the middle of writing an article, a book about the rapture. I'm also finishing one up as well in terms of the those events. And sometimes people may get discouraged because of the church itself. They are the ones that oftentimes can be very discouraging when they should be encouraging about the things that the Bible say. And that's why you and I would continue to do what God has called us to do, to open the eyes of the blind prophetically, because we want to make sure that when the Lord returns, no one will be able to say, well, no one told me, or I didn't know. Now, if people decide to reject it on their own, that's on them. But we still have our responsibilities to continue to proclaim the word, just like Isaiah did, just like Daniel did. And there's always that big group of unbelievers. And that's why the Bible speaks about, right, Nate, the narrow way and the broad way that leads to destruction. And there's many that are going. And we're finding more and more many individuals not wanting to believe the things that the Bible says.
And it's a sign of the end times. I mean, 2 Peter 3 prophesies three things that people will deny in the last days leading up to the return of Christ. One, the creation, And that's definitely because of evolution that's taken over so much of people's thinking today. Two, that the world was judged in the flood. And we have many flood deniers in this world today. And three, that Jesus Christ will ever return. Well, we are certainly living in the fulfillment of that prophecy. Today, people deny the creation, the flood, and the return of Jesus Christ. And yet, the return of Jesus Christ is one of the most prolific promises that God made in all the Bible. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you believe what Jesus said. And we, in our finiteness, can start losing hope that he's going to return. But don't lose hope, as Peter also says in verse 9, that the Lord isn't slow as some consider slowness. He is patient with us, not wishing that any to perish. In other words, he wants everyone who's meant to be saved in this church age saved before he will rapture the church up to heaven. So there could be, 10 more people left, and by the end of the day, they're saved and will be raptured. We're getting that close. And so just trust in the Lord. And that's what Isaiah is doing here. Through Isaiah, was giving the prophecy to the people. He says, okay, and we've read it in previous chapters. You've hardened your hearts, Israelites. You have just said, no way, Hosea, am I going to follow God? Well, judgment's coming. It's going to be by the Babylon. Surprise, not the Assyrians. But, and then he always gives them hope. God will judge them, the Babylonians, for the evil one day, just like he's judging you for your evil. So trust that God will always follow through on his promises and prophecies.
Oh, excellent point, Nathan. As we also notice here in these next few verses, again, the admonition, looking at verses 11 through 15. Nate, would you be able to pick it up for us there, verses 11 through 13? And I'll do 14 and 15 on Isaiah 47, in case someone doesn't have a Bible.
Okay, picking up verse 11. Therefore, evil shall come upon you, Babylon. You shall not know from where it arises, and trouble shall fall upon you. You will not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. Stand now with your enchantments, and the multitude of your sorceries, in which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit, perhaps you will prevail. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Now let the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from what shall come upon you.
Behold, they shall be as a stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to sit before. Thus shall they be to you, with whom you have labored, your merchants from your youth. They shall wander each one into its quarters. Now, Nate, again, some of the things that you shared earlier, how this destruction is coming, we see even more details here, and also who they were putting their trust in.
Yeah, you look at the Old Testament, and you see that there is so much paganism, and the paganism would look to astrology, not astronomy, astrology, demonic sorcery, incantations, you name it. In other words, the people were looking not from guidance from the God of the universe who knows everything, but the fallen demons who are on the earth. They became demonic. And so we look at that and say, well, okay, that was an Old Testament thing. But brother, just look at the young adult section of any bookstore. What is the majority of the books aimed at teenagers? I use Harry Potter, for instance. They're all witchcraft and sorcery and wizardry. We're seeing a huge increase in Wiccanism in the country and the world. There's a gentleman who writes in the ministry occasionally. He lives near Stonehenge in England. And he says his town is just inundated by New Agers, occultists, spiritualists. They hold pagan conferences there. And of course, I don't want to say hijinks, but the evil that the people commit in town is just absolutely at the old pagan levels. And that's what the whole world is like, just addicted to Satanism. I mean, that's who the Lord and Master is. And the Lord does not allow other gods to compete with him, and they're nothing compared to him. And that's why the Ten Commandments, there shall be no other God but Yahweh God, and do not worship idols, the first two commandments. And so the Lord is going to bring punishment on those people. It won't last forever. But my heart goes out to our country and the Western world, because we have adopted sorcery and paganism. We're obsessed with it. And that's the very thing that led to the destruction here of Babylon.
Nathan, that's a good point. As we look at, as you were talking about the young people and everything that they're being bombarded with, I'm looking at verse 13 here, where it speaks about astrologers and stargazers. And again, God raised up Daniel and his friends, if you will, in a time of darkness in a pagan world, yet they were able to stand for God. They took on a fast, the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 1 and chapter 2, and God gave them wisdom beyond their years to be able to interpret dreams and prophesy properly, where in the midst of that, it was astrologers and stargazers. And Nate, I just love the way that God can also raise up a generation of truth tellers, even in our time, people that young people that love God, and we're seeing also some of those. So we pray, right, Nathan, for God to bring in those Daniels and speak to our nation, much like those Charlie Kirks, right, Nate, and those that are raising up to tell the truth. So that's our hope for our nation.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're the light, the Lord says. You know, we bring light and salt, in other words, the truth to a world that's just dripping in paganism. Some of the world knows what they're doing in their rebellion, and others don't. They're fallen under a lie. And so we bring the truth of the gospel in the time that we have. That's, folks, why, if you're a Christian, why you exist. We're here to do good works while we wait for the Lord to come and set up his kingdom on this earth. And so we should be out there doing good works, right? In other words, sharing the gospel, bringing people to Jesus, being examples of Jesus while the time is short, holding back that tide of evil.
And Nathan, you know, verse 14, as we get ready to close, we don't have a lot of time, but it says, "Behold, they shall be a stubble, the fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to sit before." The Bible speaks of a coming judgment, a flood that is coming to the world, but not one of water. But according to Peter, is going to be a flood of fire. And Nate, the reality is that there is a judgment, and those that are not following the Lord or who are not trusting in Him are going to find themselves in a very scary place. And we don't want that for anyone. We're not here always teaching fire and brimstone, but we do bring up the fact that, hey, we really need to take the Bible serious and God's message is serious. Yes, God is a God of love and He loves you. He doesn't want any to perish. And like Pastor Dr. David Hawkins used to say, I don't know if you remember, Nate, that
Oh, yeah.
if anybody that goes to hell, they're trespassing. And I
Yeah.
always remember him saying that because people don't belong there. That was made for Satan and his demons. But when we reject God, we choose to send ourselves to that place, right, Nate? And that's why we plead with you to come to the Lord while there's still time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we read it that God is a God of love. Absolutely. But the ultimate act of love is to bring justice upon those who were victimized. And so that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for God's justice to come to the earth. The tribulation martyrs will cry out for when, how, Lord, how much longer? And he will say, until your number is complete. So we know that a lot of Christians are suffering now, and they will definitely in the tribulation. But we have hope that Jesus is returning to rapture the church before the tribulation, and praise God. Now, to be part of the rapture of the church, Vic, right? There's one thing that you need, and that is you must be saved.
Definitely, the Bible says you must be born again. Jesus had that conversation with Nicodemus, born of the Spirit. And how does one get born again, you might be asking? Well, the Bible speaks about a spiritual birth. And wherever you are today, you can be born again into the family of Christ, recognizing, as we were sharing, that, hey, we are all sinners. We mess up. We're not perfect. But Jesus Christ died at the cross, resurrected and paid for our sins. And all we simply need to do is come to Christ, confess our sins, recognize that we've broken His commandments, and repent, turn around. And if we're willing to do that and invite Jesus to come into our hearts, the Lord will grant you eternal life. And you can do so wherever you are right now with a very simple prayer. And if you pray this prayer and you mean it from your heart, God will change your life. Wherever you are, just call on the name of the Lord and say, "Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. But God, right now, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I want to invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to be my friend. And from this day forth, I want to follow you, Jesus. In your name I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you sincerely pray that prayer, meant it from your heart, Nathan, I would love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 305-992-9537, or you can write to us at webminister@loudlion.com, and we would love to rejoice with you and welcome you to the family of God. And Nathan, that's why we do what we do, right? It's exciting when people come to the Lord.
Absolutely. It's the beginning of your eternal life.
Praise God. And of course, we ran out of time for this segment of our program. We thank you for being part of today's program. Vic Batista and Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a wonderful day.
Son, that whoever believes in him should not